And we're starting Perek Yud Ches, a new midah, the midah of Chassidus. And first, what we're going to learn today is not what the midah of Chassidus is, but what it's not. And the Mishnah Shesharim prefaces this midah with the negative, because Chassidus is very much misunderstood. And in his time, he wasn't talking yet about the Chassidus that's prominent today, but a different kind of Chassidus that was prominent then, called Chassidus, where people used to fast a lot and afflict themselves for tshuva. They used to roll in the snow without clothing on and go into ice-cold mikvaos to torture themselves. And that was what was understood as a chassid. Right? A chassid is somebody who lives a very aesthetic life and tortures himself constantly about tshuva. Okay, today chassidus has a little bit different connotation, and that's also not necessarily what chassidus, real chassidus, is. So because in various generations the term chassid is used in many different ways, the Mesillas Yesharim had to tell you that what was prominent in his time to be called chassidus wasn't necessarily what it is. And in fact, just to show you that it's not necessarily chassidus has been hijacked by the Hasidic movement, but the Vilna Gaon, who was the prominent opponent of Chassidus in its early stage, was called Eliyahu HaChassid. That was his title, HaChassid. That's before Chassidus was called Chassidus. So very misleading what exactly Chassidus is. The Mefarshei HaMesillas Yesharim over here bring down the Kuzri. Start with that. That he is asked by the Chacham, who's teaching the Melech of the Kuzarim, for conversion's sake. So the Melech says to him, "Describe to me a Chassid. What is a pious person?" So the Talmud Chacham says, "A Chassid is a person who supplies and provides for all of his servants exactly what they need in the measure that they need, so that when he needs to call upon them to serve him, they're all prepared and capable of serving him properly." So the king says, "I think you misunderstood me. You just described the king. I told you to describe me a chassid." So he says, that's what a chassid is, a person who is totally in control of all of his servants, not people, but his, what's it called, his abilities and capabilities and talents, right? All of his, various powers that he has within him, he knows how to provide for them properly, so he can call upon them to serve him, to use them for the purpose that he wants them to be used, not where they make use of him and pull him to whatever they want. So he says that's what Malchus is, that the Shurei Das says that is an essence what a melech is. A melech is not somebody who rules over other people. He brings a medrash. The medrash says that when Yosef and Binyamin were arguing, Yosef and Yehuda were arguing, what's going to happen with Binyamin, before they knew he was Yosef. So the other Shvatim stood back, and they let Yehuda and Yosef argue it out, and they said, "Melochim medainim zeim zeh, two kings are fighting it out, right? We're not going to get our heads mixed in between these two kings." So he asked, "I understand Yosef was a king, that he ruled over the land of Egypt. He's fit to be called a king. But Yehuda, what kind of king was he? Right? He was the head of a clan of a few brothers. That's called a king. And to compare him, the two kings are fighting." So he says, yeah. He says, a king is not determined by how many people you rule over. He said, the last ruler of Russia, Tsar Nikolai, right, was, I think it was Nikolai, it was Alexander, but in any case, what's it called? He ruled over millions of people. Yet, he was so afraid of being assassinated that every night, he never slept more than 15 minutes in a room. Every 15 minutes, they would wake him up and move him to a different room in order that nobody should ever know exactly where he was. So this way, he felt he would avoid assassination. In the end, he was assassinated. So his fears were well-founded. In any case, but at least I guess he avoided it, pushed it off for a while. So he said, this is a king, this is a slave, right? He basically is dependent on the whim of the people. When they're for him, fine. If not, not. Look at all the kings in Egypt now and in Syria, whatever, they're kings. They're really dependent on the whim of the people. Rabbi Saul Salanter also says that that's the pshat, that when before Mashiach comes, the ikvus of the Mashiach, it says, Pnei hador kipnei akelet. Pnei hador are the leaders of the generation, will be like dogs, like the face of dogs. So the simple meaning is also relevant, right? It means that they'll be like dogs. They'll be like a dog is a symbol of chutzpah. The leaders will have tremendous chutzpah. Right, not necessarily do what's good for the people, but do what they just to support their personal gripes, as we see going on now. In any case, but the Rabbi Saul Salanter says means something else. He said that if somebody would come from a different planet and see a man walking a dog, so he would assume, right, the guy's walking and the dog is on a leash walking in front of him. He would assume this planet is inhabited by four-legged creatures that lead around two-legged creatures. That's what it looks like. It looks like the dog is leading the man. So except when they come to a crossroads, so the dog looks back to see where the man wants to go. Then he'd realize, it's, even though the dog is walking in front, he's not the leader, he's the follower. Same thing, the leaders, before Mashiach are going to come, are going to be people who look like they're leading. They're in the front. But every time they have to make a decision, they look back at the people to see where they want to go. Because if they don't make the decisions that people want to hear, right, they're not going to be leaders too long. So that's a follower. That's like a dog. Right? Looks like he's walking in front, but he's really a follower. A real leader is a person who, first of all, can control himself. Right? And secondly, then he deserves to have people follow him. Because he's the kind of person who's in control. So that's what a chosid is. A chassid is a person. That's why Chazal say man malki rabbanan. Who are the real malachim? The talmidei chachamim, who are in total control of themselves, and they're not led by the yetzer hara, by their taivas or whatever. So that's a chassid. A chassid basically is a person who knows how to take care and provide for all of his physical, material needs, spiritual needs, right? And everything is just waiting to be called upon to function for the purpose of Avodas Hashem. That's what a real chassid is. That's the Mesil Shasharim says we'll see something similar to that. But that's basically what the Kuzari says a chassid is. He's the ultimate melech, the ultimate ruler over himself. So that's the real meaning of chassidus. So let's see the Mesil Shasharim himself now. Midas ha-chassidus sricho hi lebir gadol. The quality of chassidus needs a tremendous amount of explanation. Ki minhogim rabim, drachim rabim, ovrim ben rabim bnei ha-adam b'shem chassidus. Because there are many varied paths and many, what's it called, many ways that people, many people think is what's called piety. That's what it means to be pious. That's what it means to be a chassid, right? The einam ele gol me chassidus, even if they are something that smacks of piety, but they're golem. A golem is not a monster, right, that the Maral made. A golem means something unfinished. It's basically, this is the thing, but it's not yet finished off. Right? Golmei kliates or kli mateches are the basic form of a kli, but you didn't put the finishing touches on it. That's called a golem. So a golem is basically a person or a thing that has some of the qualities of the thing that you really want it to be, but it's not finished off. It's unfinished. So a lot of the things that people call chassidus are not necessarily the opposite of what chassidus are, or not chassidus. They have some of the trappings of what to be a chassid, but they're unfinished. They're unrefined. They're just the trappings of it. B'li toar, b'li tzura, b'li tikkun. They're missing the real form of what it is, right? And they're missing the complete tikkun, the perfection of what it is. Okay? The nimshach zeh michisorin ha'iyun v'haskola amitis asher l'bali amid al sahim. Why is that? Because they heard that there's such a thing as this is frumkeit, this is piety, right? An example that's aware of recently or whatever. An example is people know that piety, being a pious person, is having dveikus b'Hashem, right? You feel that certain closeness to the Rabbanu Shalom. So people feel that what's it called? That being chassid or being pious, right, is this total, like, you know, rapture with the Rabbanu Shalom, but they do it in a way that is totally have nothing to do with the Rabbanu Shalom, right? You know, you see sometimes people who are wrapped up in the rapture of what's it called of seemingly being you know, ecstatic about the Rabbanu Shalom, but they do it in such a way that has nothing to do with Yiddishkeit, right? Has nothing to do with halacha or whatever, in ways that are totally more preachers than chassidus, right? It's more, and there are people like that felt that bringing people closer to the Rabbanu Shalom could be done in any way that is not necessarily the way that the Rabbanu Shalom wants people to be brought closer to him. And there are people like that. So on the surface, they look very pious. They're very, godly, spiritual. That's it, spirituality. So people are spiritual. They think they're chassidim, right? But what they're doing is the antithesis of what spirituality is, because it's totally without any framework and without any limits, right? So it's unfinished. It has the trappings of chassidus, but it's far from being what real chassidus is, and sometimes the opposite of what chassidus is. And the reason for that is that people don't want to think. They like, you know, to take things on the surface and put them into practice, but not to think about it to know how really to accomplish what they're supposed to be accomplishing. And the reason for that is it's too hard. It takes a lot of time and effort to think. So people would rather not think and just do things that appear to be pious, and they call it chassidus. Ela hischazdu v'holchu b'mashin hizdamin lahem l'fi asvar rishonah. So they act in a way that whatever, you know, comes their way, whatever they feel in the beginning, without going into it too much and without controlling themselves too much, that's what they consider pious, and that's what they do. Says the Mesil Shesharim, because there are plenty of people like that in all different ways that have totally corrupted what chassidus is, so they've given chassidus a bad name in the eyes of people, and therefore people have become accustomed that this is what is a chassid. And therefore people think that piety is either things that are hevel, that are totally ridiculous things, that's how a pious person is, right, does things that are completely meshuggah, or that are irrational, right? And that's what they feel, that's how you get closer to the Rabbanu Shalom, by doing ridiculous things or things that are irrational. By hadeya hanechona, neged hasechel vadeya hanechona, against rationale and against what's really true. Ve'aminu ha'yosh kol ha'chassidim toli rak v'amirus bakoshes rabbos. So what do they see? People who are supposedly pious people. People spend their whole day, making all kinds of bakoshos, right? All kinds of his bodedus and walking around and talking to the Rabbonu Shalom kibiyocho, viduyim gedolim, or the opposite. They're constantly making viduyim. They're constantly making different kind of confessions or whatever. Ubechios and crying, right? Either they're ecstatic, jumping around. Trying to get closer to the Rabbonu Shalom, I guess. Or they're sitting on the ground crying and bemoaning how terrible they are, and this makes them pious people. Vishtachavoyos gedolos uvesigufim hazorim shiyomis bohem ha'odem esatzmo kitzvilos hakerech v'hasheleg yosu rema elu. Or they they're making all kind of crazy movements and torturing themselves by rolling around in the snow, or going into freezing mikvaos. Again, we don't have those kind of people today. We have other kind of people that do other crazy things, right? That they consider themselves very pious and godly and spiritual people, when in fact they're very far from being spiritual at all. I always like to say, sometimes people think that spirituality is feeling fulfilled. I have to do what makes me feel fulfilled. When in fact, spirituality is fulfilling what the Rabbanu Shalom wants you to do. Right? Do what the Rabbanu Shalom wants. You want to be spiritual, you want to get close to God, find out what He wants to be close to. But don't try to foist on Him what you think is godly when it's very ungodly. Even though there is a place for some of these things, of viduyim and crying and whatever, if you're about tshuva and you have to get away from certain averus or whatever, so there's an inyan to do these things. But this isn't the major idea of what it means to be frum. This is just a necessity because of a situation that happens to be in your situation. And some of these things are proper for people who need to separate themselves from things in this world because they're harmful to them. But this is not the foundation of what chassidus is. These are things that may be necessary as means to reach chassidus sometimes. It depends on the situation of the person, but they are not what chassidus is. Ach mitzius hachassidus atzmo hu dover omuk ma'od lahavino al nochem. That what real chassidus is something very deep and takes a tremendous amount of thought and preparation to understand it and surely to acquire it. Vihu miyusad al sodos chochma rabba v'tikun amaisa b'tachlis asher roi l'chol Chacham Lev. Mine says Dibon Lev. I think it's Chacham Lev. L'chol Chacham Lev Lirdof Acharav. These are things that are built on foundations of Chachma, right? Yisodos Chachma Rava, the Tikkun HaMaisa, and that they take a tremendous amount of effort to acquire them, right? And a tremendous amount of thought to be put in to know what real Chassidus is. Ki Rak L'Chachamim La'asigo be'emes. Really, real chassidus can't be had by people who are kalei das, right? People who are not very bright or don't want to take the time to think into things and just do whatever comes their way are not going to be pious people. V'chein omru chazal lo am ha'aretz chassid. That's what chazal mean in Pirkei Avos, and am ha'aretz is not going to be a chassid. And Am Ha'aretz could be a Yirei Shamayim, he could be a person who does mitzvahs or whatever and doesn't do averus, but he's not going to be a chassid. Because a chassid is dafka somebody who thinks and understands and spends a lot of time acquiring this midah of what real chassidus is. And for an Am Ha'aretz, that's impossible. So an Am Ha'aretz can't be a chassid. It's like the opposite, it says. If you see an Am Ha'aretz who acts like a chassid, stay away from him. because inevitably he's going to distort and the inyan, and it'll be a bad influence on you, and you're going to begin to think that this is what real chassidus is. So today could be that you have to read that mission in Pirkei Avos a little bit differently, right, with a question mark. Lo amhar is chassid. Right. Most chassidim are, well, in any case, we'll leave that. Most people who consider themselves chassidim are. Okay. That was enough for this year. Okay, in any case. So that is his hakdama to the midah of chassidus. And they said the importance was, even though by other midos he didn't tell us what the opposite was and that you have to be careful, and because those things people may not do, but they don't have an idea of something that is a distortion of it. But when it comes to chassidus, there's a lot of chassidim, right? People who claim to be chassidim, or think that they're on a derech of chassidus, which is totally either the antithesis of what chassidus is, or a very unfinished, crude kind of piety and chassidus, which is not what this midah is at all. Okay, so we'll next time begin to explain what chassidus is. But in any case, it's good that we're learning this around Rosh Hashanah time, because the ikar of Rosh Hashanah is malchios, and we just said that chassidus is very much connected to malchus. For a person being in total control of all of his faculties and using them perfectly for what they're intended to be used for. And since the Malchus, in order to recognize Malchus Hashem, a person has to be part of that Malchus, and being part of the Malchus means acting like a Melech, under the Melech. So learning about Chassidus in Elul before Rosh Hashanah is a beneficial thing. Okay. Any questions on this? If not, we'll go to the next.